This morning we have the second part of that account. We have the account of Mary and Peter and the disciples seeing Jesus. It's early in the morning. It's early before the sun has even barely rose. It's dark. And Mary, and some of the other ladies that have been following Jesus and saw him as he was crucified, head out to the tomb where he is buried. And they have ointment and aloes and myrrh ready to finish anointing his body, because the men didn't quite do it right. But they head to the tomb, and as they get closer to the tomb, they recognize something. They see something. Mary is horrified. The tomb, the stone at the front of the tomb, has been rolled away. And she runs back. She meets up with Peter and the disciple that Jesus loved, understanding that most point to John, the writer of this gospel. And she reports, they've moved the stone. They've taken his body. I don't know where he is. Well, John and Peter, they immediately run to the tomb. And Mary, I imagine Mary is running with them with tears in her eyes. Where did they take my Jesus? And the scripture says that John got to the tomb first and stood outside and peered in. He saw some linen. He caught a glimpse of Jesus' burial clothes. It's dark. It's before sunrise. Can't quite see into the tomb. Peter, as I've said before, he's the impetuous one. He keeps on running right past John. He goes right into the tomb. And he looks and he sees the linen clothes. But there's no Jesus. He sees the clothing has been still wrapped. It's still wrapped as it would be around the dead body. It looks virtually undisturbed. The only thing that catches his attention as maybe being out of place is that the headpiece has been moved and is folded nicely. Peter is amazed. He doesn't quite understand what has happened, Scripture says. John still is outside the tomb. I wonder what John is doing. I wonder if it hit John as he sat there and he looked. There's no Jesus. The report of Mary, there's no Jesus. And thinks back, what did Jesus say? On the third day, I will rise. It's wonderful. The light clicks. It says that the other disciple, John, who had reached the tomb first, then entered the tomb, saw the empty cloth, and believed. Interesting, verse 9 says this. For they still did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went home again. John believes, but still doesn't quite understand what exactly has happened. Kind of hard to fathom. Well, in the account of John, John gives this next part where Mary Magdalene is still there. The disciples go, but Mary stays. And Mary is crying. Where is my Jesus? She looks into the tomb. She stoops. And she sees something amazing. Maybe not quite sure what it is, but she sees two angels sitting there. And they ask her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." She turns around. Maybe she hears something. Maybe she feels something. Maybe she feels someone looking at her. And she turns around, and there's Jesus. She doesn't know it's Jesus. Maybe she can't quite see because as the sun has been rising, maybe she's facing the sun. And Jesus is standing in the shadow. Jesus says to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Scripture says, supposing he was the gardener, she replies, "Sir, if you've removed him, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him away." And Jesus says one word. Says Mary. All of a sudden, the bells and the whistles go off. I recognize that voice. I've heard that voice before. It sounds so familiar. And she turns around and Scripture says, she says in Hebrew, "Rabboni," teacher. And she clings on to him. She holds him. "I found my Jesus." Jesus says, "Don't cling to me." Why? "I found you." He says, "Don't cling to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. I'm not done. I'm here. Like I said that I would be, I have risen again. But Mary, I want you to go and I want you to go tell your brothers. I want you to go tell the disciples that I'm ascending to the Father, your Father, to my God and your God." So Mary, maybe she's got a bigger skip in her step. Maybe she's running and she's got this incredible smile on her face. But she arrives to the disciples and says, "I have seen the Lord." What do you think the disciples said? I wonder. Did they believe her? says they didn't believe her. Who would believe a woman? Because even a woman's testimony in court wasn't enough to convict. But why would you doubt what Mary would have to say? She knew Jesus. Jesus delivered her from demon possession. She walked with him throughout all his time. She served him. She anointed him with oil for his burial. She knew Jesus. Why would she lie to the disciples about Jesus? Like Thomas, like Peter, and like the rest of the disciples, we may not recognize Jesus. We actually may abandon Jesus. We may abandon God and abandon the Bible and abandon the church. Because the God that we want, the Jesus that we desire, the Jesus that we think we know, doesn't show up the way we expect or desire or want. He doesn't match. And he says to us, Shannon, or Doug, or Lynette, and we recognize his voice. You're not how I expected. Maybe Jesus is so different than what we've come to expect that we get disenfranchised, we get disheartened. We see the warts and all on his body, on his church, and we cast it aside, attributing his church to be Jesus. But Jesus is Jesus, and the church is human. We all have warts. We all have sin. We all have failures. But there's only one Jesus, and he's perfect. Confusing Jesus and the church. Maybe we head back to what we knew before. Before we came to know Jesus. Before we came to know his love. Before we came to know his coming kingdom of eternal life. And we head back to the sea fishing like Peter. Peter says to the disciples, I'm going fishing. Interesting statement, considering that Jesus appears to the disciples three times after Mary tells them that she had seen the Lord. The first time, they're hiding in fear from the Jewish chief priests and Sadducees and elders and whoever you want to call them, because they had crucified Jesus and now they were going to get the rest of his followers. They were going to put down this rebellion. They were going to take control once again. They were not going to hear anything more of Jesus, the Messiah. After all, they'd paid the guards. Because they had discovered and they'd heard the news that Jesus' body wasn't in the tomb anymore. And they knew that they hadn't taken the body. That they hadn't hired anybody to take the body. So they told the guards, who were astounded and amazed, who knew what they saw, to lie about Jesus. To say that his body was taken. Jesus appears to the disciples three times. He appears to Thomas. And to verify his authenticity, he walks through wall. He says, "Give me some fish," and he eats a fish. He says, "Thomas, look at my hands. Put your fingers in my hands." Do they believe? They don't understand, but they see that it's Jesus. Well, Peter isn't going to be so impetuous this time. I wonder what's going through Peter's mind. If this is Jesus, I've got some business with him. Or he's got some business with me. Because we know that Peter probably feels lower than low seeing Jesus because he denied Jesus. He said to him, "I will follow you to death. I will never deny you. I will follow you to death." And as Jesus is taken away to be crucified and taken to the high priest's house, he follows along and he hangs outside at the charcoal fire. And when the people around him notice him and say, "You are with him. I saw you. Weren't you at the garden?" He denies them. He says, "I don't know the man." Peter has some business with Jesus. Or Peter thinks Jesus has business with me. Interesting, at the crucifixion, who is the one name that is not in the account? It's Peter. Doesn't say that Peter was at the cross. Doesn't say that Peter followed Jesus as he walked up to Golgotha. Peter was nowhere around. Why? Why would Jesus accept me? I've done a horrible and terrible thing. There is no way on earth that Jesus could ever forgive me. He's distraught. He's deserted Jesus. The rooster crowed. He wept bitterly and had remorse. So the first time we hear about Peter is when Mary comes and says to Peter and John, "They've taken our Lord." The curious thing is that Peter, after seeing the Lord three times, he goes fishing. He says, "Boys, I'm going fishing." And the rest of the disciples, those with him, say, "We're coming with you." They told him, they went out and got into the boat, but that night, guess what? They caught nothing. This seems like a very familiar story. When we feel that we're not good enough or that we've abandoned the Lord or that at some point we left him behind because we got caught up in the world, we got caught up in the shiny things, we got caught up in living in this world, we go fishing. We go back to what we used to do. Because why would Jesus accept me? Why would he forgive me? The most terrible thing that you could ever do. Maybe you're there. Maybe you're stuck there. Why would he accept me? Well, Jesus accepts you. Because he accepted Peter. Peter denies Jesus three times. And Jesus told Peter, "You're going to deny me." Three times. Oh, no, never. And he does. The resurrection is not just the resurrection of Jesus, it's the resurrection of humanity. It's the redemption of man, of woman, of child. It's the redemption of Peter. Jesus asks Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter goes, isn't it obvious? Yes, I do. Then feed my lambs. Okay. Peter. Yeah, yes, Lord. Do you love me? Yeah, I answered that question already. You know that I do. And teach my lambs. Okay. I'm glad we got that settled. Peter. And you just tell, probably Peter's face just went downcast. Do you love me? Lord, why do you ask me three times? You know that I love you. Peter, I've asked you three times to restore you. You denied me three times. I restore you completely. Peter, you said that you would never deny me, that you would follow me to death. Peter, I forgive you. And you will die for me. But it's going to be a glorious death. Because you are going to speak and share the story of me and my love with nations. You're going to be bold. You're going to be courageous. You won't deny me again. You learned the lesson. No more fishing, Peter. But just to prove to you that I've completely forgiven you, throw the net on the right side of the boat. And before that, before Peter has this discussion, right? He's in the boat. Jesus is yelling from the shore. They don't recognize him yet. They cast the net, as the stranger says, and they catch fish, 153 of them. And what does Peter do? John goes, "It's the Lord!" Peter says, "I'm getting out of the boat. I've played this one before. I was kind of hesitating the first time, but I walked on water. I ain't waiting. I'm diving in. I'm going for it. That's the Lord. I'm fully committed." Peter's complete redemption. When he gets to the shore, he has this conversation with Jesus. Jesus says, "Hey, you guys, come and eat. I've got fish, I've got bread." How did Jesus get fish and bread? Remember, I fed the 5,000? It's a miracle. I am who I am. They eat around what? A charcoal fire. When Peter denied Jesus, he was sitting around a charcoal fire warming himself with the temple police, the temple guards. His redemption is complete. Peter, I know where you were. I saw you. I looked at you when you denied me. And we're going to make this complete. I completely forgive you. A person is never too far gone to be forgiven by Christ. He loves us that much. He loves you that much. There is nothing that you could ever, ever, ever do to cause Jesus to not love you. The story of the prodigal son illustrates that. A son who wanted his inheritance from his father, didn't want to wait, took his inheritance, demanded it, and went and lived the wildest life that you could live. Got himself into trouble, barely living and surviving. Instead, he works in the pig barns. Doesn't have anything, barely anything to eat, so he degrades himself to eating what the pigs eat. Then he comes to his senses. He says, I remember my father. I remember that unconditional love he had for me. Maybe he'll take me back. I'll go to him and tell him, I'll be your hired hand. I'll be your servant. Just take me back so I can survive. Unbeknownst to the son, he doesn't know that his father every day went out and waited for his son's return. Every day, waiting for him or her to return. And when the son comes down the road, his father runs to him, embraces him, and instead of accepting him as a servant, he accepts him as a son. He gives back to him his full redemption. Throws on the ring, throws on the royal robe, puts sandals on his feet, and throws a celebration. Who was lost is now found. You could never do anything to make God not love you. He says, believe in me. If you believe in me, you believe in my son. Because Jesus is the same as me. I gave him for the redemption of men, of women, of children. This is how much I love you. I stand at the door and knock. Anybody hears me and answers and opens the door, I will come in and be with him forever. Is Jesus knocking? Do you hear the call? Will you answer? Everything that Jesus did, everything that was recorded in this book, is done so that we might believe and know that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for us, that he redeems us, and that he stands at the end of the road waiting for us to return. We may think that I'm living the life of Peter, or I'm living the life of Thomas, or I've lived the life of Judas and I'm not acceptable. Jesus says, I welcome you home. Just believe in me. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you accept me, the Father accepts you. Will we accept Jesus? That's Easter.